Last time, I talked about the value and fun in keeping a field notebook. If we do keep track of the birds we see each day, is there any good reason why we should also keep a life list? If you mark each species you've seen into your field guide, a checklist of birds of your state or country, or bird listing software, you can't help but notice the empty spaces for birds you haven't yet seen. I don't like being reminded of all the birds I missed when looking back on specific birding experiences, but now and then I do like being reminded of all the birds I've yet to see, my personal bucket list. Each bird we've already seen represents at least one exciting moment in our past, and each one we've yet to see is a promise of an exciting moment in our future. During the first year and a half that I birded, I stayed in Michigan, Illinois, and Wisconsin, with a brief trip to Virginia for one meeting. It was an exciting time for me, during which I birded on my own for at least an hour or two every day. My first spring, I saw 40 species, a total that would disappoint me for a single spring morning now, but each bird gave me a surge of joy, and I was adding a lifer on average more than every 2.5 days. When I look at just those first 40 species on my life list, I relive each joyful discovery in a way I simply could not if I hadn't written them down on a list. After that first spring, in addition to my solitary local jaunts, I took 2 ornithology classes with lots of field trips, and the next spring I went on some Michigan Audubon trips to see more far-flung birds, such as greater prairie chickens and Kirtland's warblers. If I'd been more experienced, this amount of birding would have left me with at least 250 species, probably more, but I was darned proud of the life list I did amass, 188 species. Then in June 1976, Russ attended a scientific meeting in Savannah, Georgia, and took me along. I spent weeks ahead of time poring through my field guides using the range maps to study all the new possibilities. Of course, I didn't see most of them on the actual trip, but that didn't take anything from the joy of anticipation. And the 26 lifers I did see, more than 5 per day, gave me 26 of the most thrilling moments of my life. My first brown pelicans, my first painted bunting, and he was singing away in the sunshine, anhingas, snowy egrets, purple gallinules. That spring I'd taken particular pleasure in warbler watching, and on this trip I added the northern perula and yellow-throated warbler. Filling in gaps in that part of my checklist was especially satisfying. It was also satisfying to see familiar birds in new settings. Keeping state lists gave me something to look for and extra pleasure on the long drive because every time we crossed a state line, I got to start anew, adding such common birds as crows, starlings, cardinals, blue jays, and red-winged blackbirds in each new state. Those state lists didn't grow very quickly, but that just reminded me of new possibilities for future trips. Once we reached Savannah, I saw a lot of cool birds on both sides of the border at places like the Savannah Wildlife Refuge in South Carolina and Skidaway Island State Park in Georgia. I had a huge sense of achievement when I broke the 200 mark on my life list with exquisite leased terns at Fort Pulaski. Seeing each bird was a deeply felt, joyful experience, but there was also something inexpressibly satisfying about adding birds to my life list and state lists and keeping track of the places where I saw each species. A few years ago, Russ and I returned to some of these places, and I could compare the bird life now to what I saw then, thanks to my lists. That, in a nutshell, is why I always say no one should go through life listlessly. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.